I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Bully ball. One more W, then hopefully the Atlanta Braves versus the Houston Astros. Hopefully.
The LA Dodgers versus the Houston Astros.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's go to D5. D5, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, I got a quick question. Number one, Figgy got the beats. I need y'all to know that. I have this argument with my brother. I'm kind of on John's side, but I see Landry's side. Like, if the Dodgers are the more, you know, like the better team, the team that we're supposed to be more afraid of, why would we want to play the team that's going to beat them? I would like y'all's thoughts on that.
I think it's just sometimes about matchups. It's about all the extra noise I don't want to hear from the Dodgers. But a lot of people don't understand what I'm laying out. So I'll put this in terms some of you can understand.
Okay.
I'll put this in terms some of you can understand when it comes to the Dodgers. They're the better team. They're the whiners. You don't get home field advantage. Don't want to play the Dodgers. Small ballers, everyone paid on the whole roster. F that, play Braves is right. Home field advantage, championship in sight. That's all we got. Let's play some bully ball.
That's good enough.
Let's play some bully ball. Time to steal some bikes. Astros versus Red Sox yesterday. John, how are you feeling after game three?
After game three?
You were talking about tools. You were talking about saws.
A buzzsaw. You were facing a team that was just in that groove. We talked about it. We've seen it. We've seen people go on grooves, teams go on grooves for an entire postseason. The one that jumped to mind was the Warriors, Golden State Warriors in the NBA, just like, okay, you had no chance against them. That's what I was feeling.
Both pitchers perfect through the first inning. Top of the second. This is where it gets bad. This is where chains get snatched and bikes get stolen. Debo Alvarez, also known as Jordan, at the plate. That's my bike, punk.
You got my 40, homie.
But just 9 pitches in the first inning, and Jordan Alvarez hits the ball into left. Back at the wall, it's gone. And the Astros strike first in game 5.
One zip.
Pitchers really doing what a lot of pitchers have done in the postseason. They find their groove. Fromber perfect through 4. Chris Sale. He calms down, doesn't give up another run. So we go to the 5th. Jordan with the no-hitter. It gets broken up with a single. As happens many times, you get kind of frustrated that someone finally got a hit off you. Mm-hmm. You get a little wild. Fromber hits the next batter, which leads to something I think Dusty Baker deserves credit for, a mound visit. The OG Dusty Baker with the toothpicks and sweatbands walks out to the mound. Here's Dusty talking about what he was thinking when he went out to the mound and talked to Fromber minutes before Fromber got the 6-4-3 double play. Here's Dusty talking about why he made that visit.
The guy's dealing. You just let him keep dealing. He got out of whack that one time, you know, when I went to the mound, because invariably, you know, he had a no-hitter. Everybody know he had a no-hitter. And then they get a hit, and then he hits the batter. And then that's the time when you really got to settle them down, you know, take the air off the ball because the crowd was about to get into it. And he threw up a double play pitch, went back to dealing again.
All right.
That was huge. That was a very, very smart move, too.
Went out there, got the 6-4-3, got the ground out, but I'm nosy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what exactly he said to Fromber. That's just me. That's cool that you got the mound visit. It paid off. Fromber gets out of the inning. But, Dusty, what'd you say?
So I just call him Framboso. I say, hey, man, you're the best. Just be natural and just do your thing. You know, it's kind of like you call a 20-second timeout in basketball, kind of take the air out of the game. And so that was the 20-second timeout that probably took 15 seconds.
Got to love the cross-sport reference game of Dusty Baker. The mound visit, perfect timing. Fromber calms down, gets it done. Sweating like Patrick Ewing from first pitch on, but... After five innings, Astros still on top 1-0. This is what they're probably talking about in Boston right now.
Yeah.
This decision.
That was awful.
Sixth inning, runner on second and third, one out. I don't know anything about Boston accents. Should I just cuss every word?
Yeah,
can't
you can
even
do that.
Boston.
Can't even do a damn live post-game show because all they do is drop F-bombs there.
Yeah. I like that they were chanting J-Lo the whole time in the post-game.
White trash dorks. So... First base open.
Wow.
First base open.
Mm-hmm.
Yordan, Debo, Alvarez coming to the plate. Second and third, one out. The immediate talking point comes up, like, do you pitch to him? I would not have.
I wouldn't have either.
I asked Figgy. We were at Kirby Ice House. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the loopholes that came out. It was packed. Figgy would get up and use the restroom. Six people would ask, hey, are you using this chair? I would say, yes, I am, sir. Nice to meet you. Oh, you enjoy the show? Thank you, sir. Sorry, can't have the chair, though.
But you can't have the chair.
Figgy, what'd you say when I asked, are they going to pitch to him?
They better not pitch to him.
Well, they did.
They did.
After the ground out by Bregman, and that one's down the line into left. What a night. Alvarez has delivered again. Two more runs will score off his bat. He's driven in all three, and it's 3-0 Astros here in the sixth.
A throwback, Kenny Smith, 33-0, was the lead for the Astros. Yuli Gurriel up with two outs, first and second, from Kenny Smith to Sean Kemp.
That's in the right of base hit. Might score two. One run scores Alvarez, and they will hold Tucker at third. As Renfro gets it back in, it's 4-0. Astros on top.
All right, so the Astros take the 4-0 lead. This is where it gets fun. You're feeling pretty good about 4-0.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a team that had three grand slams in the series. So, right. You know, that's four runs. A little bit scared. Dusty, we've talked about the mound visit. The gut. He decided to go with some Siri boy swag in the lineup. So, Jose Siri... With 100 emoji chain, by the way. I got a close look at that chain. That is not his jersey number. He has a 100 emoji with the two lines
He's
under
100.
It. Chain. So you got Keeps the 4-0 lead.
What chain?
Siri at the plate. He's strutting. And you know what was happening. We knew it was going to happen. It was only a matter of time. Wait for it. Wait for it. Right. Wait for it. Siri boy swag. Siri boy swag.
Here's a 1-2. Little fly ball into right. That will drop for a hit. One run scores. Here comes Gurriel. Throw is cut off, and it's 6-0 Houston here in the sixth.
So you go 66-0. Siri, a Tommy Nobis fan.
There you go.
They zoomed in on the dugout. And you saw Altuve kind of giggling, like almost laughing, and then you saw...
Because he knew Siri wasn't just going to, like, keep his head down and move on.
Siri goes to first. Normally he shoots the arrow a little bit conservatively. Boom! I thought he was going to break his shoulder with the way he shot that arrow at first base. Boom! I thought he was going to separate it. I was scared because the assing was on. It was official. At the bar...
Yeah, I was good then. Right then, I was good. Right?
People were buying shots and everything. Yeah. I was good because the assing was on. But I was concerned when Siri came up late in the game because I'm all about the showmanship. But
you thought they were going to go old school on him?
No. As the assing kept getting worse and worse, I was worried Siri was going to hit a bomb and, like, make it rain in a 10-run game,
sure.
Like at home plate.
Sure. Absolutely.
I was a little worried.
Well, there's no reason to worry. That's what he does. And by the way... You know, they did the time. They did the what time it is thing.
And Correa likes it.
Yeah.
But you have the 6-0 lead. Fromber's still going, though. Seventh inning, Michael Effen Brantley adds an RBI single. Astros take a 7-0 lead. Bottom of the seventh, Devers hits a solo shot to make it 7-1. He has to get in a cart. and get pushed through the dugout.
Your analogy is spot on.
He looked like Ralphie in Christmas Story putting on the bunny costume.
Yeah.
Having to get in that cart down 7-1. It looked it's cute when you're hitting, you know, grand slams in the first and second inning and all that. It just looked kind of goofy there.
Yeah.
And 7-1 wouldn't be the final score because Yuli Gurriel, the American League batting champion in the ninth, he got a little bit greedy.
All five of these LCSs, he gets a base hit into center to score two more. Bregman scores, Correa scores, and it's 9-1 here in the ninth inning.
Sergei Fedorov, 91. So the Astros,
was he 91?
91, yeah. You want to check me on that?
I believe you. Who's your NFL number 91?
NFL number 91? Nah, I don't know. I just went Sergei Fedorov. I don't know why you're trying to take away from my glory here, but, you know, it is what it is. Astros win.
It's fun to be the penetrator.
9-1. Astros win 9-1. Astros get the dub. An assing. Framber Valdez, the Bulldog, doing what he do. What?
You're a horrible teammate.
What do you mean?
When they weren't awful, they were actually pretty good.
Oh, Seth Payne, 91?
Yes.
How could I forget? Framber the dog does
his
thing.
Remembered.
He did. Framber does his thing. Yordan Alvarez sets the tone with the wood. Fourth player in MLB history to get three hits off a sale from the left side of the plate. David Ortiz did it in 2015. Said that.
The mini-me.
He said Alvarez reminds him of himself, but said the swing was nicer. And you had Framber Valdez, the dog, go out there and validate Dusty calling him an ace. This was Framber on the mound with Fox Sports 1 after the game talking about his performance, which, by the way, in 30 minutes, John Lopez will rank it against some of the best performances we've seen in Astros history on the mound. But here was Framber with Fox Sports 1 after the game.
Tonight you threw 8 innings, a gem to put the Astros within one win of the World Series. What was the difference? Framber, on the mound, we saw you very comfortable. In the dugout, we saw you very calm. What was your plan to deal with the atmosphere pitching on the road at Fenway Park in the LCS? A job very well done. Thank you. Congratulations. We'll see you in Houston.
Thank you, too. Gracias.
So that's Framber, the pit bull. I mean, this was big for many reasons because it almost created, because we've seen some bad snowball effects in this series, but this was a good snowball effect because it made a heroic performance by the bullpen. Less than 24 hours after you said the bullpen was the MVP of that game and maybe the series, it validated it and it rewarded it. Like, the gesture didn't go unnoticed because he allowed the bullpen to rest.
He rewarded it with rest. Exactly. And now you have the off day and you can almost set it up the way you want. And, you know, that's the other thing. You've talked about, you know, he needs to pitch like an ace, Framber. I said, if you're an ace, if you're this and you have it in you because you throw 90, 9500 pitches the last month of the season, you got to go at least six. You have to go at least six innings and show that you're an ace. Now, I was thinking just giving up two runs in six would be a victory. I didn't know he'd be dominant like that. But what it does also is it validates Framber. It gets him back in line with, I'm not just a good pitcher on a staff with Greinke and McCullers. I can be the dude.
I'm still here.
And it's back, and I can do it in the postseason again, and I can go a long way. So you've got, it's almost like you have a new ace, even if McCullers can't go, and you got a new bullpen.
Two cracks. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. So maybe a new ace. What about a new quarterback in the 305? Deshaun Watson to Miami. It's happening soon, according to John McClain and Mark Berman. We'll give you the latest next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Is Nick Caserio about to make a big mistake, and who is making him do that if he is? 713-572-4610. Astros, one win away from a World Series. Game 6 tomorrow, Game 7 if necessary on Saturday. Exciting times around here. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in. Bugs, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
What's going on? I need Joe Buck to be a little bit more enthusiastic when the Astros make plays.
Oh, come on, Bugs. You're being serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious. The one home run that the Sox hit, oh, you could swear they were up by 20. And I'm like, man, Joe, and this goes back. I have a peeve with him going back to when we won the World Series several years ago. Like anytime when the Astros make a big play, it's like very subtle. Yeah, he gets a little enthusiastic, but let it be the Cardinals and let it be anybody else but the Astros. Oh, he's going ham in, but let the Astros do, oh, Altuve, he hits the ground double. You know, just like that.
But, come on, Bugs. You're crazy,
I like the way
Bugs.
He did that.
Not you too, Bugs.
Yeah, man.
They got to you too.
Bugs, man, we appreciate the call. Let's just hear some of the evidence, because I don't feel it like Bugs does in a lot of people. Bugs isn't alone. I'm not picking on
him. Oh, gosh, no.
I just don't. Yeah. I don't feel it like that. Let's hear Joe Buck. Let's hear if he's excited enough when something happens for the Astros.
There it goes to left. Altuve has tied it.
Well, Joe, he's missed his pitches all night, and you knew sooner or later. He was going to get his.
What could have been different?
What did you want him to do?
I mean,
that sounded pretty excited.
Fans, and not just Astros fans. I said this earlier. Astros fans have the rabbit ears. I think all fans have the rabbit ears. It's like, why do they hate us? You know, that thing. And I think Astros fans maybe have it a little more because we've been hearing so much since, you know, the cheating scandal broke.
I don't get the Joe Buck
people
stuff,
calling
though.
Them cheaters.
I think I know what they're looking for.
Okay. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There it goes to left. Altuve is tied.
Rock and roll.
I think you found it, Figgy.
They want Vandy to say rock and roll after?
On every big play.
I just don't see it. Now, I know what Bugs is talking about, and to me this is very disingenuous and misleading.
Mm-hmm.
People in the ballpark when Bregman hit that home run, he's going back to game 4.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of times it looks like a routine pop-up at Fenway.
Oh, that, there is
if
that
you've
aspect.
If you ever watched a game at Fenway, and I've watched a few, like sometimes there are home runs that just look like pop-ups.
Or even Todd Callis, who's the home, you know, play-by-play guy when they were broadcasting games not at the stadium, and he couldn't tell if it was really shot or not.
Yeah, but
he would be kind of subdued.
Yeah, and then Bogaerts hit his, and there was no doubt about it. That was one that was going to wind up on the street, but I think there was a difference. But, you know, Bugs is not alone, so... He is not alone in that. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. 713-572-4610. Deshaun Watson traded in the next 12 days. Deadline November 2nd. John McClain and Mark Berman broke the news yesterday. Immediately after, John McClain joined Clinton Show, who were live at Kirby Icehouse, and he dropped this nug.
I believe Watson will be traded to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are one of the teams that's been talking to them off and on for months, like all the other teams. They want his legal issues to be resolved. I don't know if the legal issues will be resolved or Miami's loss to Jacksonville in London, a fifth consecutive defeat. when they thought they were going to compete for the playoffs, made them do the deal without the legal issues resolved? I don't know. Nick Caserio's wanted 3-1s and 2-2s the entire time. Whether he'll get that, I don't know. I do know the Texans didn't want to put conditions on the trade, and I'm hearing that he won't be suspended, and there's a good chance he'll be traded. He'll be playing against the Texans on November the 7th in Miami.
Boy, that would be crazy. I mean, you just heard it. I mean, we assumed that there wasn't going to be a trade. I haven't really heard anyone say Miami, but John McClain says it. So I think Miami looks like the destination, and Mark Berman's on top of it as well.
I'm sitting right here. I'm sitting 3 feet away from you, 4 feet away from you. This is so funny. The McClain thing is so funny, and he knows I love him, and I'd tell him this to his face. That's why we're so tight. He was laughing in my face when I said, John, I'm hearing Miami is very serious. I'm hearing they're interested, that they, you know, they're talking, and it could happen before the trade deadline. And then I come back in July during training camp when I hear some other things, and I actually told you this off air, what I was hearing. Still Miami. Close to a deal in July, allegedly, but there were a couple of hiccups then. And I mentioned it to John. and then I mentioned it again over the last few months here. And I tell John, you know, it can happen. You know, the Texans could make this deal with Miami before the trade deadline. And he was adamant about no team in the NFL is going to trade for...
Hell no.
Exactly, for him before the trade deadline, before they find out what, you know, what the results are of his off-field stuff. And so, yeah, I think you've heard it before. I think you've heard it before.
I was just trying to draw you off.
Nah, I know.
But
penalty, Figgy.
The question is, though, why now? Would be the question, because maybe Miami just got desperate. Because I actually threw this out, and I said, well, if they lose to Jacksonville, John, and they lose to the dog-butted Jaguars, then maybe Miami becomes more desperate to trade for him. I got the same thing you
did. No.
That's what I got. But maybe Miami's price, now that they can offer three firsts, they have San Francisco's this year and next year, and then they have their own, the three firsts and whatever. Maybe the price is just, they're willing to pay the higher price now. But I just wonder, like, after the season, when more teams need quarterbacks and Miami still has these same assets, if it might make more sense. That's my concern, is I don't want this to be, because when McClain and Berman get the information, it's from someone important. They're not.
Oh, this is no, this is very, very real.
It's from someone important that wants the city to know this news. So why now is my question. If it's because Miami's just willing to sweeten it up, that's fine. But if it's because there's some outside pressure, that's concerning to me, to the point where one of the biggest Nick Caserio supporters in this building would have to take one on the chin and back away a little bit more from the support and the leeway that I've given the Texans GM.
I just think that there are clearly – the reports are coming hot and heavy from Miami and Houston, like legitimate reports. It's not just, oh, this must be Cal, or this must be Jack, or this must be whomever in that building – telling Berman and McClain these things. I believe these 100%, but we can't make that leap that it's just one person. So clearly, and it's agents too. Let's not throw them out. Agents generally are the source for a lot of stories.
But McClain ain't just going to run with a random ass agent.
I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Like, what he's getting here, what he's getting from agents, and oh, by the way, not just Deshaun Watson's agent.
McClain's very conservative.
Right, exactly. And then you got the Miami thing. You know, Brian Flores and all those guys over there, Greer, you know, work, you know, there are guys who work with them. I think this is 100%. I think it's also a little bit premature to be upset about what return you're going to get in the next week or so before you even know what it is.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. 12 days till the trade deadline. Deshaun Watson to Miami. A lot of people placing that bet. Jason, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? I thought today was a good day to make my peace with the Deshaun debacle. And I want to say, first of all, that I have called in before and stated that I supported Deshaun's decision to do what he thought was best for himself and to take what he believed was a moral high ground against a tyrannical franchise. I thought it was acceptable based on the direction of the team and the abilities that this young man possessed Was he screwed over a little bit? Probably. But we've probably all been in a situation similar where we had a boss that was not treating either us or our teammates fairly, and we had to decide to take a stand or to sit back. The difference is that us 9-to-5 blokes can't just quit our jobs. We have to find a new one before we can leave, or we don't make rent. That would be the case for most men at his age trying to make a living. I understand his financial situation and career path is different, but recognize that immediately, Deshaun. You want to be legendary, do something brave, not cowardly. That being said, a year later into your moral high ground parade, we can dismiss every intention that you had involving your moral high ground when it turns out that, I must say, allegedly, off the field, your intentions are to turn influencers and massage therapists basically into prostitutes. Mm. You're slime, Deshaun. You're the quintessential, but I'm a good guy excuse maker. They're making movies about guys like you right now. I digress. Your intention to do what was right for yourself deserves support. But again, a year later into this charade, had you given any thought to the 3 million diehard football fans that you have left in the dumpster fire while throwing gasoline on us as you drive away in your Lamborghini? Or is the power of your individual brand so important that it doesn't matter what we experience? I do not wish injury on you, but I wish nothing good for your career. You've made your money, to which most of us could live off of just a 1% clip. You're not going to be legendary because you play a game for a living, dude. Recognize that and take some responsibility for assisting in the football franchise destruction in one of the greatest football cities in the country. See you later, homie. Good luck with your Instagram lifestyle.
There you go. Now, I think you can be legendary and play sports. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
That was well written.
Fromber.
He did use the word tyrannical, which I think is impressive.
I'm glad we were here for him to vent, and feel free to vent. I don't know what that has to do with the discussion of how this is going
to
impact.
He's trying to move on.
No, I know. But part of moving on is what kind of deal is this going to be?
Yeah.
What kind of equity are we going to get? And yes, I mean, nobody here has said Deshaun Watson has not done this city a huge disservice. But there are a bunch of factors involved, who led to that.
He can be a legend. I disagree with that, yeah. But I love the passion. 713-572-4610. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to look up the word tyrannical to get more perspective on what he just said. And John Lopez is going to get his list together of the 5 best pitching performances of all time. We're also going to load up the phone lines so you can get it off your chest as well if you so desire. Lunch continues on In the Loop next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, top 5 pitching performances in postseason history, courtesy of the OG coming up. But a lot of people want to weigh in on this Deshaun Watson situation. This is where I sit. If the price is right, go for it. But if you're just trying to do it just to get it over with, I think that's incompetence. I think that's discouraging for a guy who supported Nick Caserio like myself. And I think that would be allowing guys who screw things up to the point where Deshaun Watson wants out of town and you are where you are as an organization, that would allow them to impact things moving forward. And I think that would be even worse for a fan base right now that is down in the dumps. Where do you sit on this, J-Lo?
I think a lot of factors are in. It's not going to be one thing that leads to this deal. Well, you got the great package of picks or whatever. That's not going to be the only thing that's factoring in. Janice McNair and Cal McNair and Hannah McNair and how this has been just eating away at them and embarrassing them for months now. That is a factor.
Well, that's sad.
It can be whatever you want it to be, but it is a factor.
I get it. Let me say this. If it took the Deshaun Watson allegations, and we don't even know what he did or didn't do, so I think assuming that he did something is
well,
unfair.
The embarrassment.
Well, let's just
regardless, there's embarrassment.
Okay, well, they've been accused of some things, too, that I think that people might have jumped the gun on, too.
Sure.
I feel like if the McNairs aren't going to let stuff play out and they're just going to act like the reaction is embarrassing, I think that's unfair because I defended them a lot of times when people weren't.
Right. No, I agree.
My point
is, all I'm saying is there's more than one thing that's going to lead to this.
Okay. I get that. But if that's what it takes for them to get embarrassed, then they're delusional. Because they should be embarrassed by the way that Cal has functioned as an NFL owner since he inherited it from his
father. Sticking next to Jack.
Where things are right now compared to where he got him. If it took these allegations that we don't even know the result of for them to be embarrassed, we're screwed.
Yeah.
We're screwed.
No, you're not wrong. Not at all. But it's not like, okay, this is it. This is why they're going to make
and
the deal.
And this is if they're involved. If they're not involved and they're just letting these guys work.
You don't make deals like this. Always include.
Okay, well, I hope they're not too actively involved.
Yeah.
That's what I hope.
Yeah.
That's my hope. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I think there's a big Miami factor here, and that might make you real happy. It might juice up the deal. You know, Greer and Flores, they might be worried about their own jobs. So they're like, all right, what do we need to do? Let's trade for Deshaun Watson. Yeah, well, we tried. Let's and we keep calling them. Well, maybe we should juice our end of the bar. You know, there's all kinds of things that might lead to this deal.
713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to Trey. Trey, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, man, y'all got me on a perfect time. I'm so mad right now, I could bark. That's why I hate lawyers like Dusty Baker. Want to try everything in the public to sway public opinion.
You mean Tony Busby?
No, Rusty Harden.
Yeah, okay.
Busby. Busby.
Okay, gotcha, Busby. Gotcha.
Because you're innocent until proven guilty. Before I forget, go strokes. Before I forget, fellas, get your prostate checked.
Oh, wow.
All right. Good prostate, for you.
Prostate message. Good gosh. That is a full service phone call.
Good for him.
Troy, you're right in the loop. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I want to say that last caller before break, he was a little pretty dramatic for me, but, you know, that's fandom, so I'm not going to dog him for it. But my problem with that is that he's mixing morals with Deshaun's problem with leadership and culture. Those two things don't really mix, especially with on and off the field issues. Y'all caught me in the middle of something. Sorry.
Yeah, I get it. Like, I don't
we catch him in the middle of?
I don't know. There's going to be a lot of revisionist history on what Deshaun was or wasn't as a player. That's just natural when it happens. But outside of becoming a materialistic weasel after he signed the contract, when he was on the field, he was doing his thing. I'm not going to take anything away from what Deshaun did on the field.
No, you can't. Absolutely. That's why this is happening, and people are willing to overlook or at least look past all the other stuff in his life right now.
Tony, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead, Tony.
You finna stop calling him out because of that money that he made. Yeah. You finna stop going to land on me, we're going to have a problem.
I'm just telling you, he became a weasel. He became a weasel. I don't know what to tell you. He became a weasel.
Your opinion. But like I want to say about that other guy that called, now, you know I was fired up when he was talking. First of all, this is what I want to say. And I need you to let me go and vent like you let him vent. Here's the deal. Okay, he's talking about Deshaun did us a disservice. First of all, I don't feel like he did me a disservice. I'm a creep for me. He didn't do nothing wrong to me. I got to enjoy 4 wonderful years of watching this man play good football, you know, with a terrible team that nobody wanted to put pieces around him because they were stupid. Okay, that's one thing. Now, he talked about his money. Okay, he makes more money. So what? That's what he does. He's a football player. And how many years did we work on our craft before we got our good job or whatever? Deshaun's been playing ball since he was a kid. So he's been working his whole life to get where he is, growing up in a godforsaken place, and he got his chance. So I don't hate him on that. And I want to shout out to the man who was a trash person. I'm a trash lady, too. I drive a trash truck, and you know what? If I knew where that dude was, I'd go to his house, pick his trash up, pick his can up, and throw him in it, and throw it in the back of my truck. Another thing, if I hear him on the radio station again, just like when old boy Mickey, when I told you about him, I don't want to bring him up, but anyway, I tell you what, let me tell you what, talk about Deshaun again, boy. I hope I see you somewhere, because I'm going to get in my mistake, and you know what we're going to do? We're
going to
walk that ass.
Oh, my. Oh, she's goodness. On the Deshaun Truth thing. I feel like I might get on the list if I keep calling him a materialist weasel, but he
doesn't
want to.
I think who wins between her and Mama Sterner?
Well, Mama Sterner had a koozie at the bar yesterday.
So her.
So that's all I. Yeah. I mean, her. I don't think Tony's taking a koozie into a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, you can't
Tony's
be a
dragging that dude's ass into
the
bar.
A little bit.
So she can have an audience.
Rick, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Guys, at this point, Deshaun Watson is a liability with his off the field issues, so that's going to bring his value down as an asset. And those truck drivers, those garbage truck drivers, they should know if you have an accident on your record, you're a liability. You're probably not going to get your next job, or you're probably going to get fired.
So he's warning Tony about the smoke that she's trying to get. Okay, Landry Locker, John Lopez. figgy fig with you. It's only the beginning. Like, once the trade becomes official,
it's going to get even crazier.
It's going to get crazier for Cal and Company. Mm-hmm. My thing before we took the calls, and we appreciate all the calls. Shout out to the Loopholes if you listen. You are one. I just don't want Nick Caserio to make this move for any other reason other than getting the max value. That's all I ask. That's all I want.
And we won't know.
I get where the situation is, though, but we will have some sort of an idea. We'll be able to weigh out the value.
Yeah.
That's my thing, man. And I don't want outside forces who may have had a hand in bringing things to this, to where it is. I don't want them to be the ones that are pushing Nick Caserio to make this deal. I know that's reality, and you don't always get what you want, and I might be asking for something that's just not realistic when it comes to reality, but that's just where I'm at, J-Lo.
I get it, and it's understandable and reasonable. I just, when this deal gets done and we see the value of the picks, we're still not going to know what was offered. And more to your point, what could have been offered after the season.
We will know.
All we're going to have is what we have in front of us.
But we do know this. We do know that a lot of teams are going to need quarterbacks after the year, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to Miami, unless those other teams are already calling you, it just seems like you're limiting the possibilities here to me. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. But according to John McClain and Mark Berman, it's going down. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. Astros win 9-1 yesterday. Framber Valdez, 8 strong innings. Where does that rank in regards to the 5 best postseason pitching performances in Astros history?
Funny you should ask.
Because John Lopez has a list. Hit him with it.
I do. I immediately started thinking about this. First on Framber, we all know. I mean, everybody's been using all the adjectives, all the praise and everything. When you take in the context of the season, along with being in the postseason and pitching it in that game, it immediately vaults it. My first thought was, well, that's got to be one of the top 5 postseason pitching performances I've ever seen from an Astro. So I put pen to paper and started thinking about the greatest, several of which I was fortunate enough to be at in person. So I do have a top 5 list. You can argue, I think, 3, 4, 5. I don't think you can argue 1, 2. Number 5.
You could.
Number 5.
Well, depending on.
I think 2 could be 1.
We'll get there.
I think 2 could be 1.
I do 2 in one sense. But remember, the whole theme here is the context. And for the context of Framber, bullpen is a done. I mean, they're
shot.
They're shot. They did a great job. They were tired before they got into game 3. I mean, they were done. What did you really need? You needed Framber Valdez to go at least 6 innings. He gave you 8. You needed him to hold them to maybe 2 or 3 runs. He held them to 1. I mean, it was one of the greatest postseason performances ever in Boston at Fenway, but it's not number 5. Number 5.
Kiermaier strikes out, 2 away. 10 strikeouts for the 11th straight start, extending his Major League record. 2 times in this series, and for the 4th time against the Rays this season, double digits.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. A fastball that's 99, painted on the inside corner, and then this great breaking ball.
Altuve to Gurriel. A 1-2-3-8.
Gerrit Cole was masterful.
Nasty.
Against the Rays in that ALCS. Say what you will about his departure and being a representative of himself and what he's how you feel about him now. That was a top 5 of all time right there.
I felt like he was kind of saying F you to Verlander the whole time too, because I if I had a Cy Young vote, I would have voted for Cole. I thought Cole was the better pitcher, mm-hmm. and he was by far the better pitcher.
I remember
in the
we had
postseason.
That discussion, yeah.
He carried the squad. He was way better than Verlander in the postseason. I think it was kind of like an F you to the guys who didn't vote for him on Cy
Young. 10 strikeouts, 10 straight times.
It's pretty good.
Numero 4.
Yesterday. Just incredible.
Disrespect.
That's not disrespect. It's top 5 all time that I've ever laid eyes on. Just the fact of what I said. The bullpen is washed. You needed it. You'd never really have been looked at as the ace. And you go into Fenway, they had that momentum for two games, and you just shut them down with Fromber.
Here's a 1-2. Vasquez strikes out. And Fromber Valdez in total control so far.
He was the man. No question about that.
Numero tres.
Game six, Yankees trying to get to the World Series, trying to win a World Series. And then there's Justin Verlander. He just was, I mean, it was Yankees. It was game six. It was here. Absolute magic. Probably the best Justin Verlander has pitched altogether here. I think he had a one-hitter one game in the regular season, but really just beyond that.
He had a no-hitter.
A no-hitter. That's right. That's right.
Where the F is Toro.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Oh, what a moment that was.
Why not?
I still think this was one of the best. So those are the 5, 4, and 3.
I think number two is number one.
Number two, you could argue, is number one, and I would argue with you if you're just saying the most dominant pitching of the postseason. It was clearly the most dominant pitching I've ever seen in an Astros uniform in the postseason.
Numero dos.
Mike Scott trying to win it right here. Struck him out. That strikeout 14, it ties the National League Championship Series record. The Houston Astros have defeated the New York Mets by a score of 1-0 on a five-hitter by Mike Scott.
I've never seen a pitcher more untouchable than Mike Scott was in 1986, especially in the – I mean, just untouchable. Untouchable. You couldn't beat him. No hitter to clinch the division against the Giants. And then he goes in there and does that in game one, does it again later, but maybe not with that dominance. And game six goes to extra innings, as we all know, one of the greatest games in the history of the game. If it goes to game seven, he's starting, and the Astros go to the World Series in 1986. And the Astros probably win the World Series in 1986. And
Bill Buckner.
Bill Buckner is never the GOAT.
That's a race card.
That is a race card.
Like a most.
It's a Red Sox card. It's a Red Sox card. Mike Scott in game one, 1986, was ridiculous.
The ESPN documentary about the Mets, mm-hmm. that Mets team, that's the cockiest group of people I've ever seen. And they were straight up saying, these are the cockiest mm-hmm. athletes that I've ever seen. We lose to Mike Scott.
They had no clue. No clue what
like,
to do.
If it goes seven, we're done.
Yeah.
We had to win six or it was over.
Yeah.
They said that.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Yeah.
Not just some of them, all of them.
So it's number one in the most dominant pitching performance.
Now he was cheating though, right?
No, he was. But number one in terms of the context of the postseason, we didn't put on the Albert Pujols audio because I didn't want to send anybody turning the dial. But Albert Pujols, Game 5, you're one strike away from going to the World Series at home. Crowd is on its feet. My column is done. I'm about to press send, and Albert Pujols hits that home run that rattled the engineer on the choo-choo train. Yeah, actually, it went on the glass above his head. That's how much of a shot it was. Completely deflates this entire city and the team. And we'd seen the Astros, no better way to put it, choke. In situations like this so many times, go back to 98, 86 in the postseason. That wasn't a choke, but they got beat.
Yeah, it was.
In the extra inning game?
Yes.
That was just a great game.
Screw that. They had that one so many times. Screw that. No way. That was a choke.
So everybody in the city is like, crap, we're going to lose.
Yeah, that was a good game, but that was a choke.
And then?
Numero uno.
The Astro fans who couldn't celebrate at home Monday night, I hope you're gathered at your favorite watering hole or at home. Runner going. Fly ball right field. Jason Lane there. Astros are going to the 05 World Series. Oh, man, oh, man. Unbelievable. They're going to celebrate. You bet they are. They let it get away Monday at home. Now you can do it on the road on the Cardinal grass.
You want to hear some great class? Most of the Cardinal fans on their feet and applauding. And the Astros celebrate on the mound. What a team effort.
Man, oh, man.
A lot of people said no way.
Jose.
These guys found a way to make it happen.
Clutch, Roy Oswalt. Clutch. Couldn't be more clutch.
Couldn't be more country.
Couldn't be more country either. He got a tractor, dude. He asked for a tractor
for
from
a signing bonus.
Drayton McLean as a signing bonus.
Country dude.
And we gave him a big John Deere.
There he goes. That's the OG's list. Top five best pitching performances. If you agree, 713-572-4610. If you disagree, 713-572-4610. Coming up, the latest on Deshaun Watson, and DeAndre Hopkins gets praise from his new Vandy. Round the league next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.